Here in this fourth chapter of the book of James, as we look to take and wrap this chapter up tonight, last time we looked at this consideration of verses number 11 and 12, talking here about the scripture says here in James chapter 4, verse number 11, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" And of course, as we brought out, the key in this is this verse number 11, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law." And the point there is having, making a judgment about a situation at hand or whatever it be in an evil fashion, in an evil way. If we do anything but use the Word of God for the judgments and the calls that we make, then we are doing this evil judging. But we must make these calls. Otherwise, if there is no judgment, if there is no discernment, if there are no decisions, then what do we have? The family will break down, government will break down, the church will break down, and there will be, because the Lord's given us His Word. In Matthew chapter 7, we saw about that, the Lord speaking there and the Sermon on the Mount, "Judge not that you be not judged," but He goes on to say that however we are that we judge a situation, from what God says, it will come back our way. So we need to make sure that we're not guilty in it, and judge that righteous judgment that God has said. We point to what the judge says. Amen? And this scripture bears that out. There's one lawgiver, verse number 12. There is one. And what's it say about Him? Who is able to save and to destroy. The Lord Jesus Christ, it bears out in John chapter 5, that He's going to be the judge. God the Father has given that charge to Him, that those may honor Him, that those inhabitants of the earth, mankind, might honor the Lord Jesus Christ the same way the Father is honored. He's going to be the judge, and He is going to give out the punishment. That's one thing that is not understood in this. In regards to church discipline and the judgments that churches make, the churches of the Lord and their dealing with the membership of the church and making a call about those things that are not right to be amongst the fellowship, consider it. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the scripture that has been given us, sets no penalty, sets no punishment, and sets no payment for sins. We just say Jesus says this. And to what extent is there a punishment? Well, the scripture tells us some about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Take a look over here real quick. We don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but we just want to touch on it. First Corinthians chapter 5. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 9. "I wrote to you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world." It's been reported that there's a problem amongst them, and they haven't dealt with it. "Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man which is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or drunkard, or extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do? For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within," speaking of the church, "but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." And so the judgments that the church will make is say, God says that it's wickedness to be a fornicator. I didn't say it's wickedness to be a fornicator, although I believe it, but I believe such because God says it so. We've got a couple that is, or a woman that's come to us asking the church for some help, and they're living in fornication. They're shacked up. Her and her boyfriend are shacked up together, and it's fornication. God says it's fornication. And it's by God saying that it's fornication that I know it's fornication. And so then we go on and we say, that's fornication. Because God says it, not because of me, but because of what the Lord says. So we do make a judgment that that is the case. And the only punishment, if you will, that's meted out by the church is what? Not to keep company and not to eat with. Okay? But this verse 11. But now I've written unto you not to keep company, the end of the verse, with such an one, no, not to eat. That's to the extent of the punishment that our decisions, our judgings by what the Word of God says go. We don't make anybody pay for their moral crimes or their moral sins any more than this extent. It's a removal from fellowship is all that is there in the church and amongst the people of God. It says over in Matthew when it talks about a quarrel between a couple brethren, if they have an issue one with another, go. The one brother is to go to the other brother and say, hey, I want to work this out. Let's get this right. If that can't do it, then get a couple witnesses and go back. If that can't do it, take it before the church, and whatever the church says, let that be it. And if that brother rejects what the church says, it says there, the Lord says there plainly, let him be unto thee a heathen and a publican. Not one to shun, but not one to have fellowship with in the church. Okay? We're to be a witness to that one, as if the heathens and the publicans were those that the Lord ministered to and witnessed to, wasn't it? About the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not, there's no shunning that takes place. But see, it is God the judge that will minister out punishment, isn't it? By taking one out from under the watch care of the church and the blessing of being a member of the church because they have pursued wickedness, they pursued that sinful way from which they claimed that they were saved, and removing them from the fellowship of the church and disciplining them as a member of the church, then they are there for God to pass out judgment. What might God do? He might take away what they own, mightn't he? He might take away and or hurt or work on them through their loved ones, mightn't he? He might touch their flesh, their own personal flesh, and compromise their health, mightn't he? There's many ways that he can do it. Many, many ways. And as the Scripture tells us in chapter 10 of this same book of 1 Corinthians, take a look over here. Have I got that right? No, I haven't. I've got a blank because I'm doing this strictly from memory. The passage, brethren, help me out with the passage that talks about here in 1 Corinthians 5, delivers the verse number 5 says, let's go back to there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 5, delivers such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That's what God will do. Church isn't doing that. Okay? That the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Purge out the leaven. Don't eat with this one. Put away from yourselves that wicked person. I completely and totally lost the thought. Okay? Look over here in 2 Corinthians, however. Maybe it'll come back to me. This one that this church at Corinth was admonished to deal with, this one that was involved with this fornication and an adulterous relationship with his father's wife, with his stepmother, if you will. They did deal with him. They did remove him from the fellowship. And the Lord dealt with him, obviously. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 5, it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 5, but if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. And what was the extent of the punishment? Removal from the fellowship. Removal from the fellowship. Removal from the fellowship because of what the fellowship thought? No. Removal from the fellowship because of what God says. It's wrong and wicked to be a fornicator.
Amen.
Okay? And then If it had not been so with this man, and this man truly being saved, it could be that the Lord might have taken this man out and taken his life. It could well be. Samson is an example of that, isn't he? Samson followed after his eyes rather than after the command and word of the Lord. He followed after what he wanted. Brother Chad preached a good message on that over in the revival last week. Over there in Hayes, Kentucky, as it turned out to be. and Samson followed after what he saw and wanted with his eyes, and in doing so, he gave up everything that God had given him. And it was God that dealt with him beyond, and of course he wasn't in church and such as that, but the Lord dealt with his son because he loves us, and we get out of the way and he'll take us out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is what I wanted to refer to. Hearing it talking about the Lord's Supper, and he said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, with such a one, know not to eat, one that is pursuing wickedness, being a brother, being part of the body. You make that judgment about what God says, they're removed from the fellowship. There's no greater punishment that's administered than that removal of fellowship. But then the Lord will work on them. And look at how the Lord was dealing with this church. Because of their not discerning the Lord's body and not dealing with the Lord's Supper well, verse number 30 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for this cause, this unworthy eating and drinking of the Lord's Supper and this bringing of damnation to themselves, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30, for this cause many are weak, many are sickly among you, and many are dead, many sleep, because they didn't discern the Lord's body, and the Lord has judged and dealt with them in this flesh. Some of them he even took out. Back in James chapter 4. So here, in these two scriptures, James 4:11 and verse 12 of James 4, we need to judge righteous judgment, as the Lord tells, and we do so not in hypocrisy, not talking to our brother about the mote that is in his eyes, little speck when I've got a big old telephone pole coming out of mine. But the Lord tells us in Matthew 7, get yourself right, and then you'll be able to help your brother. We need to be representative of the truth of God's Word and that. There's one lawgiver, verse 12, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? If we would take upon ourselves more punishment that can only be administered as a church by the removing of one from the fellowship of the church, then in that we also judge in an evil way. The Lord says in Galatians that we that are spiritual should seek to restore those that are wayward. But what is it that the Lord recognizes? What is it that the Lord honors? He honors repentance, doesn't he? True repentance. Repentance. Yes, I'm wrong. Yes, there's no excuse. Yes, I'm guilty. And God is right, and I'm wrong, and I want that good thing of God. Next, in verse number 13 of chapter 4 of James, go to now, dealing with another subject. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Here the Lord's talking about bragging. He's talking about boasting. And that thing of us being made in the image and likeness of the Lord, the glory that He's bestowed upon us as human beings, the ability that He's given us to think and to advance and to build and to conquer and to change things. I mean, think of what folks were living in this region 100 years ago. Hadn't it been a drastic change? And think about what they were living in and what they rode around in 100 years before that. Several hundred years before that. That is the ability that God has given mankind to do and pursue such a thing as this. The Lord has done that for us. Do the birds, have they made advancements about their nests? You ever see aluminum siding on a bird's nest? Or today it would be vinyl siding, right? Yeah. What's that? Not that they build, right? Yeah, right. We might do that for them, right? But you don't ever see a dog improving their doghouse, do you? You ever see fish getting around a different way than they have? No. No, because they're creatures made as the Lord purposed and planned for them, and they have been the same. Generally the same. Yes, there's adaptations within the species that God has made and allowed. But no fish ever became anything else than a fish. Never has been. God made them and ordained them to be that way from the beginning. Amen. But mankind, we've been given the ability. Civilizations have risen and advanced and then fallen, haven't they? And they've risen. Don't we look at the Colosseums of the Greeks and of the Romans and say, how did they get those big columns up there? We know how it could be done in our day. You just get a big old crane. They use a lot of cranes out there. Brother James works. You'll see him coming and going on 431 from out there at Logan Aluminum. Yeah, no problem with the crane, right? But how did they do it in that day? But they did it. And if you go up there and you take your driver's license or you take your credit card or you take, something else and try to stick it in between where those go together, it's pretty tight, isn't it? I mean, they fit them well. Yeah, they were able to advance to that point in their day. We're calling it advance. And so are we. And so in this being made in the image and likeness of God, this glory being part of the Lord's glory being bestowed upon us, that we've been made in His image and His likeness, we've been given the ability to advance, we say, I'm going to do this week. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go down here to so-and-so. And I'm going to buy this stuff up, and I'm going to take it down there to so-and-so, and I'm going to sell it off, and I'm going to make a killing. That's what we do. Because of the way it is with mankind, we think we're in control. It's natural for us to take and discount God and discount our need of God and not even think about our Creator and advance ourselves what we're going to do. And that's what he's saying here. May the Lord help us that this thinking not creep into His people and creep into His church. Amen? We need the blessing of God. Go to now, ye that say, verse 13, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year until your appendix checks out and you get down sick till cancer strikes. Until you get some problem with something that's going on, and then our plans change totally and completely, don't they? Right. When it gets down to it, and we realize how it is, how frail life is. Heard about a little, some of y'all were talking about here recently about a little 3-year-old boy that was known here in the church. Fell down, as children do when they're playing and roughing around and all that. Child fell down, I think at 3 years old, hit his head. Never was the same. And then you get another kid that'll just run smack into the end of a door and you think that they're just going to be rattled for life and they're okay. Isn't it something? Brother Waltermeyer, he had that bicycle crash. And when he wrecked, that dog ran out and ran into his bicycle, or he ran into the dog as the dog ran out there to him, and he fell to the ground. They got him up on the curb. He was talking fine. He was doing okay. He was shook up and hurting some physically from the wreck that he had. But then in a matter of weeks, he was dead as a result of the wreck. We need the Lord, don't we? We need the Lord. And we need to have our conversations seasoned with that salt of needing the Lord. Amen. And so he says, go to you that say this and say that you're going to continue in a place in a year. You're going to buy and sell. You're going to trade. You're going to pursue the business that you've been blessed with. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. But the Lord does, doesn't He? The Lord does. And we need to be mindful of that always. For what is your life? And truly this is the case. It is even a vapor. A vapor. I was thinking about this and studying and preparing for this message on this part, and I thought about maybe bringing a tea kettle. You can imagine that, water boiling on the stove and that steam coming out once the water gets hot enough, and that steam goes up into the room, and it doesn't go very far, and then it's disappeared, hasn't it? It's the way our life is. Here, now, gone the next second. And talk about in Sunday school this morning about the span of time being around 6,000 years. I believe the Scripture bears that out. And maybe if we live 60, 70, 80 years, maybe a little bit more, what is that but a speck in time, isn't it? It's just a little bitty dot. A little bitty dot in time. Our time to serve our generation. Our time to serve our generation. As the preacher there in Acts preached about David, that after he served his generation, he fell on asleep. And that's an indication that he was saved. You know, and that little bit of life and time, if one lives that life, that little speck of life, and then dies without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they enter in into eternal death. One little speck of life, and then go on to eternal death. But that one that repents and believes, trusts in Jesus Christ, receives the Lord. The Lord saves their soul, visits them and convicts them and shows them the truth about their need and about the Lord Jesus Christ. That little speck of life in the midst of it has that abundant life, doesn't it? And goes on an eternal life in the Lord. Isn't that, what a contrast that is, amen? What a contrast that is from a little speck of life of that first life and being born again and that just being being blessed and expanded out to eternal life. But then without the Lord, it's just a little speck of human life and then that's it. Eternal death for the balance of that soul's existence. For what is your life? There's a good message that's there in that. Be a good title, Brother Chad. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Because here's how we ought to speak. Here's how we ought to think. It's one thing to say it, isn't it? And we need to. But we need to really believe it. We need to believe it. We need to know in our souls and our hearts that it is really this way. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. If the Lord will, this vapor will keep on living. And the Lord being my helper, I plan to do this or that. And as we pray and we seek the Lord's help and guidance in this thing, we say, Lord, I'm planning to do this, I'm planning to buy that, and I'm planning to buy it at this price. I pray You'd help and work that would be the case. Or if You want something else, Lord, You work that. And Lord, give me help and grace just to rest in You and trust in You in it. Amen? Oh, but I can't get there on time. I'm going to meet Him. I'm going to meet Him at 8. And I can't get there. I'm not going to get there till 10. Well, if you fiddled around getting ready, getting your hair done and whatever you did and shaving and all that, and you blew the time and you made it to where you couldn't get there, well, then there you are. You should have started earlier, amen? But if the car or the truck broke down or your bicycle broke down or whatever it is that broke down, something that's out of your control, how many times we pray and we say, Lord, help with this, and then the thing seems to fall apart. It's happened to all of us. It's happened to all of us. Things seem to fall apart, but then result in the end in something better. Amen? Yeah, yeah. We prayed for the Lord to work. We sure wouldn't have thought that a baby being delivered on Sunday would have been a good time for a baby to be delivered, but we've been praying that the Lord would work. Amen? And so if He does some things in that doesn't make sense to us or wouldn't be of our choosing, but He's doing so to save someone from being hurt, having the right doctor or nurse or technician on the scene, or avoiding some disease or virus that would be present? Does the Lord know about those that have cleaned the instruments there at Baptist Hospital? Yeah. And maybe they were sleeping on the job and didn't do a good job. And we've asked the Lord to protect Natalie and the baby. And the Lord work a thing different just to avoid those instruments. Yeah, brothers and sisters, I'm naive enough to believe that. Because I know my Lord cares about the details.
Amen.
He cares about, if He cares about hairs on heads and birds that fly around, and every single one of them He knows when they hit the ground, He cares about those things. Amen? Amen? And so, it said, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoiced in your boastings. What does it say in verse 13? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, of our own accord. Verse 16, but now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Evil. Evil's pretty strong, isn't it? It'd be better if it said not good, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that have been better? But it says evil, doesn't it? It says it's evil to boast and to brag about our ability and what we're going to do. And we as the Lord's people, we do need to pursue. Scripture that my pastor always pointed out, he said, enjoy that which the Lord gives you and provides for you. And use it in His service, and don't use it to sin against Him. Because the Scripture says, look well to thy flocks. Look well to thy flocks. Now, we're not herdmen. I'm not raising any cattle. I think Brother Bobby, he raises some cattle. You need to tend to them. We need to take care and tend to our stuff. But don't hang on to it. Don't make it our all. Don't put it between us and the Lord. But put it in its right place and use it for the furtherance of the kingdom. Amen?
Amen?
And there'll be a blessing in that. It'll be having it in its right place. Don't have that white-knuckle grip on the stuff. But if the Lord wants to take and do something else with it, then the Lord's will be done in it. Amen? My father-in-law, he would say, he'd drive by something, and probably even before he was my father-in-law, he'd say, oh, looky there. I said, what's that? He said, look at that tractor. He said, I wish I had that one, and he's had three more just like it. Right? The Lord blesses us, and we need to use what He gives us for His kingdom. This rejoicing in our boastings, it is evil. Verse 17. You ever wonder why this verse is here? Therefore. If the therefore is there, we need to find out why the therefore is there, right? What it's there for. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him or her, it's sin. This is the summary of this chapter, isn't it? Verse number one, wars and fightings. If you know to do good, and you know how to avoid wars and fightings. If you don't know how, learn how to avoid wars and fightings. And if you know how to avoid wars and fightings and you don't, it's sin. Verse number two, lusting, covetousness, asking amiss in verse number three to consume it upon our lusts. If we know to do good, and we do it not, it's sin. Adulterers and adulteresses, verse number four, talking about from the spiritual standpoint, friendship with the world, which is hatred with God, enmity. Being a friend with the world is the enemy of God. If we know to do good, and we do it not, it's sin. The Scripture says in verse number five, that the Spirit of God, the Spirit within us, lusteth that envy against the Lord. But the Lord gives grace. He resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. If we are proud within ourselves and what we think we can do in our ability, in our way, rather than what the Lord says, if we know to do good and do it not, it's sin. He gives us the outline here in verses 7, 8, and 9, and 10 for being humble before the Lord, submitting to Him, resisting the devil, drawing nigh to the Lord, cleansing our hands, purifying our hearts, be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let our laughter be turned to mourning and our joy to heaviness, to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, to admit to God that we need Him. And in so doing, He's promised He'll lift us up. But if we know to do good and do it not, it's sin. It's sin. And judging with an evil thought, judging of our own accord rather than making decisions and judgments with what the Word of God says. If it's so because Jim Duke says it, it's wrong. It's evil. It's wicked. But if it's thus saith the Lord, it's right. It's right. And I need to hold to it because the Lord says it. And you need to hold to it because the Lord says it. Because it's His Word. It's His truth. It's His way. But if we know to do good and we don't do it, it's sin. It's sin. And then our bragging and our boasting. We that would say, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. I'm going to plan to make this increase. Not considering the purpose and will and way of the Lord. Not having my conversation seasoned with that salt in the heart and the soul, knowing that I need the Lord's blessing upon me. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Sin. And what is sin? First John chapter 2 tells us sin is a transgression of the law of the Lord. And we sure don't need to do that, do we? No, we don't. Chapter 5, we'll get into it next time. Speaking about the sins of the rich, that's a heading that's here in my Bible. And he speaks that, and I encourage you to read it in advance there in verse number 1. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Oh, may the Lord help. We've been, by the standard of the world, anybody in the United States, anybody that lives in the United States is richer and better off than many in other countries. I don't know how many of you were able to look at some of the pictures that Brother Mark put up on the Picasa website for some of the things that the church has been involved with for the last several years. And you look at those pictures of the folks there in Papua New Guinea. Oh, what a contrast, huh? I mean, The lowest in this country, the lowest in this country has indeed a blessing. Those people are living with gaps and holes and metal that doesn't even finish the roof. And I mean, they're fixing food underneath the house that's up on posts there, and they're chopping it up there. Some of them working it out, their food, their next meal out on the ground nearly. May the Lord help us put things in right perspective. Amen. May the Lord we be mindful as His people to count our blessings. And when the Lord shows us that good thing to do, that righteous and holy and right way to walk with Him and follow Him, may the Lord help us to obey Him and submit to Him in it. Amen. Because it'll be good. That's where the blessing of the Lord is. For you that are here tonight and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to repent of your sins and your wicked way, because you are wicked indeed. No more wicked than any of the rest of us, but you are wicked, and you need to see it. You need to see it. Us knowing it and us seeing it won't do you a bit of good. We had to see ours. I had to see my sin and my fault and my failure before the Lord. But you need to see yours, that you're lost and undone. We point you to Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of sinners just like you. Repent.